A very warm welcome to you. You are listening to a message from Word Fountain Christian Ministries. Be blessed.
Father, we lift you up this morning above our situations, above our circumstances, above ourselves, above everything that has troubled us. We lift you up. We lift you high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for watching over us. We are who we are today only by your grace. We are standing only by your mercy. Lord, we surrender all to you. Have your will, God. Thank you for how you have been with us from the beginning of this service. Have your way, Jesus. Speak to us. In ways that we will understand.
Amen.
Be lifted up.
Hallelujah, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let the King be lifted up. Hallelujah. We are welcome in Jesus' name. It's good to see the people of God waxing stronger and greater in God. Thank you, Jesus. And it's always a privilege to come into the house of God. The psalmist says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Our senior pastor brings her greetings. She's off on a trip for the weekend. She extends her love. And we thank you, Brother Tosin, for the privilege to see the Mumbesharas. I've not even seen them. I've not been opportuned. Hallelujah. So you are highly favored. Amen. We tap into that we too will be opportuned. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God. Because what God has done in their lives is permanent. There is no going back. That is what we have declared in Jesus' name. I also bring you greetings from North Oxford. Hallelujah. Amen. God is doing great and mighty things in our midst. One step at a time, we are gaining ground. Amen. Say, I am gaining ground. In your life, you are gaining ground. Don't let the enemy deceive you that is not working, that is not good, that is not that. Say, that is good, that is working. Hallelujah. That is how we should respond to the threats from the enemy. Because what the enemy wants to bombard you with is what is not working, what is not right, what is not looking good. But you turn it around, say that is working, this is good, that is nice, I like that, I've celebrated that. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Let the Lord move mightily in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God for Sweden Church also. They are waxing greater. And we'll continue to hear good news in Jesus' name. This morning, I've been sent to somebody. I don't know whether one or two, but I know the Lord sent me here for someone. Hallelujah. Are you the one? I think I am the one. Hallelujah. You know when you think you are preaching a message, and it is for you, because it comes from in before it can come out. What you don't have, you cannot give. Hallelujah. Amen. And where did the message come from? Whether two Saturdays ago now, say, I was privileged, like Brother Tosin, to see the choir practicing, and they had someone with them, Brother Ade Adefala, precisely, bless God for him. Just a few minutes that I had the privilege to be with them. And it started by asking one or two or three people or four to come out, one to be like Moses, the one to be Aaron, the one to be all, they forgotten, they are just remembering now. Hallelujah. Some to be the armies of Israel. Hallelujah. And he asked them, so who is the most important? Before I go into it, let's just read so that it will not be as if we are just saying stories. Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Technical, please help me with mic. So that anybody that wants to help us to read. That's Exodus chapter 17, verse 8 to 13. If you see it, you can read for us. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Exodus 17, 8 to 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out, men, and go out. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there on, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
Amen. Hallelujah. So from this story, which we are familiar with, we've heard the name Joshua, Israelites, I mean Moses, Aaron, and Hur. Hallelujah. Joshua and the Israelites at the battlefield, Moses, Aaron, and Hur on top of the mountain, Moses holding the staff, the rod of God, up, and as much every time his hand were raised up, the Israelites discomfited the Amalekites. And every time his hand goes down, they realized that they were losing. So Aaron and Hur decided to put a stone. Moses could not help himself to get the stone, but Aaron and Hur helped him put the stone down, and then Moses sat on it, and they both held his hand on separate sides. And the Bible said what happened was that the Amalekites were totally destroyed or discomfited. Hallelujah. So from that story, who is the most important? That was what he was trying to tell the choir. Who is the most important? Was it Aaron? Was it Hur? Moses? Joshua? Israelite army? Start to think about that. If not because of time, I would have loved to give us might and to tell us the reason why we think they are important. I think I will. Hallelujah. Amen. You tell me who is the most important. If you know, you just say the name and why you think that person is the most important. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, someone's hand is up.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They all need one another. If Moses' hand was coming down and picking things, before he would do that, they would have limited them in numbers. They were helping him, and I believe all of them, they have to work one in one.
Amen.
And I think Paul encouraged us in Ephesians to this as well.
Amen.
That we need one another.
Yeah. Amen. Okay, thank you very much for that. Any other answer? We all believe that they all need one another. So invariably, there is no one that is the most important. It takes me to our message this morning. Who is the greatest? Start to think about it. Who is the greatest? The greatest department, greatest ministry, greatest home, greatest children, greatest this, greatest that. Who is the greatest? Matthew chapter 9, from 33 to 37. Amen.
33 to 37, I read. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The harvest is plenty, but laborers are few. Hallelujah. There was an argument that ensued between the disciples. And they began to argue with themselves at some point. Who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And Jesus heard and said, nobody is the greatest. Hallelujah. Jesus said, nobody is the greatest. What happened is that Peter would have thought, I have the key of the kingdom, so I should be the greatest. John and James would have thought, we are the disciples that went with Jesus to the mount. I mean, we are the inner caucus, so we are the greatest. But Jesus made us to know that none of all that is the greatest. Hallelujah. I want us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Yeah. 10, verse 12.
For we did not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
Amen. So every time we compare ourselves with one another, the Bible says we are not wise. It shouldn't be at all. And I pray that we will make wise choices and will be wise in Jesus' name. Amen. There is no need for comparison. That is what this message is about this morning. There is no need for comparison. All we are asked to do is to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord on our own path, on the path that he has paved before us. And then we'll find ourselves walking how God wants us to walk in Jesus' name. In the Bible, there's this mommy that just woke up one day and went to meet Jesus. The Bible says they were worshiping Jesus. You know how it is that you might be worshiping Jesus, but Jesus knows the intent of your heart. He knows what is going on within you. They were busy worshiping Jesus. And Jesus now asked and said, what is it that you want? That's in Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. And the mother of the children said what she wanted. We read from Matthew chapter 20. We read from verse 20. Amen. Mike?
Praise the Lord. Matthew 20, from verse 20, I read. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshipping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, "Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Where am I
stopping? Yeah, you're going to stop at verse 28, please.
28. And he said unto them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. And Jesus called them unto him and said, "Ye know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant." 28, the last verse. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many."
Hallelujah. Amen. This woman came. The Bible said they were worshiping Jesus. Amen. That verse 20. The mother of Zebedee's children with her sons worshiping him and desiring a certain thing from him. And he said unto her, what do you want? Jesus said to her, "What do you want? I know you are worshiping me." You know how it is that when you want to get something from someone, you keep praising, you keep doing it. What exactly do you want? And the woman said, "I want my two children to sit, one on your right hand, one on your left hand, in your kingdom." And he said, "That is not for me to decide. It's for my Father." Hallelujah. And the Bible said that the other ten disciples, they were very, very annoyed. That what is happening? So it's like those other two wanted to make themselves to be the what? The greatest. Hallelujah. And Jesus now told them what it means to be a disciple or to be great. It says, to be greater, verse 26, you must minister. Amen. 27, you must be a servant. None is great. None is the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. You want to be great? Be a minister. Be a servant. Serve others. Don't look high about yourself. Calm down. Let me talk to someone. Say, calm down. Calm down. Because God, the word of God says, he exalts those who are humble. Hallelujah. The proud, he brings down. I pray that the Lord will not bring us down in Jesus' name. We need to serve one another. The word of God tells us also that we, as body of Christ, we all have something to do in the house of God. We are all gifted differently. The gift I have is different from yours. What you have is different from mine. And we must be able to supply our joint. You will see there's a scripture that says, every joint supplies. And as I sat there this morning, I was wondering which joint was supposed to supply water on that table this morning. Hallelujah. Which joint? Start to ask yourself, am I supplying my own joint? Which joint was supposed, we sang opening song, it was not coming up on the screen. Which joint was supposed to do that? I pray that you and I will not miss it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you bring your own, I bring mine. You bring yours, I bring mine. Everything will be together. It's like marriage. In the word says it is 50-50. You bring 50%, I bring 50%. We join it together, it becomes 100%. That is not what the word of God says. 1 + 1 is supposed to be 2 in the eyes of the world. But the word of God says it is 1. It's a mystery. He created mathematics, so you cannot say that my God does not know what he's doing. God wants us all to bring what he has put in us. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles. We'll see it now. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. If you see it, you can read for me.
From whom the whole body filled joint together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
Amen. 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 Thank you. We are the body of Christ. We are joined together by various compartments. But that joining is based on what you supply. It's a mystery. The joining we're talking about is based on what you supply. So if we say the body of Christ is a building, when you don't bring your supply, what happens? What will happen to that part of the building? It's just like children, when they are given assignment, a particular child may not have done, let's say, his own, and is looking at someone and say, have you done your assignment? And he looks at that other person and say, that is wrong. That is wrong. This is not good. And the other child asks, but what about yours? You've not done yours. Can you do yours so that we can go and show the teacher? The teacher will be able to say whether it's wrong or right. We all have something to supply. I pray that my supply will not be missing. I pray that your own supply will not be missing. This morning, I want you to begin to ask yourself, what am I supposed to supply? Where we first read from about the Israelites, Joshua, Moses, none of them can sit back and say, I'm not going to do it, or I'm not important. Everyone is important. Everyone. Hallelujah. I want you to know that everyone is important and to see yourself as important. If you do, you will know that when you are not in church, your supply is missing. Hallelujah. When you hold your supply, although you are going to say anybody can, no, not anybody can. You are specifically endowed to bring that supply to us, and we are waiting for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I want us now to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 10. I will like that in the Message version if you have it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 to 10. Has anybody got in the Message version? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 10.
I read.
Thank
you. 1 to 10, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. But for right now, friends, I am completely frustrated by your unspiritual dealings with each other and with God. You are acting like infants in relation to Christ, capable of nothing but much more than nothing at the breast. Well then, I'll nurse you since you don't seem capable of anything more. As long as you grab for what makes you feel good or makes you look important, are you really much different than a babe at the breast, content only with everything going your way? When one of you says, I am on Paul's side, and another says, I am for Apollos, aren't you being totally infantile? 5. Who do you think Paul is, anyway? Or Apollos? For what matter? Servants, both of us servants, who waited on you as you gradually learned to entrust your lives to our mutual master. We each carried out our servant's assignment. I planted the seed. Apollos watered the plants. But God made you grow. It's not the one who plants or the one who waters who is at the center of this process, but God who makes things grow. Plant and watering are menial servant jobs at minimum wages. What makes them worth doing is that is the God who we are serving. You happen to be God's field in which we are working. Verse 9. Or, to put it another way, you are God's house. Using the gift God gave me as a good architect, I designed blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there is going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing if your work passes inspection. Fine. If it doesn't, you are part of the building. Your part of the building will be torn out and started all over. But you won't be torn out. You will survive, but just barely.
Amen. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. I like that the message version because of how explicit. Amen. Paul was talking to the brethren. Say, and I, brethren. I, speaking to the brethren. Brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. Because at times we might think what we are talking about is just unbelievers. No, it's talking about the body of Christ. We, those who have already given their lives to Jesus, those who are workers in his house. And he's saying that we are still thinking like babies. We are doing things like babies. And we've been in this work for some time. And it's grieving his heart. And one of the things he saw was that people started talking about, I am for Paul, I am for Apollos. And he said, this ought not to be. He did not hail those who said they are of Paul. Because that one would have thought he should say, okay, you have Paul, okay, come to my side. Say no, because he knows that is not of God. I want us this morning to know how much it grieves God's heart when we begin to be in divisions. When we begin to be in division, because it starts from our minds and it begins to manifest into action. In departments or anywhere we find ourselves, we should ask ourselves, have I supplied my own joints? What am I doing about the situation? Am I bringing in what I'm supposed to bring in? Because really, I went home thinking about that illustration that I said I got from the choir. It means it doesn't matter who is singing. It doesn't matter who is backing. If anything happens, it's all of them. If we begin to see it like that, there will be a change. I know in homes, we have a tendency to say, it is a man. We have a tendency to say, it is a woman. No, it is the children. No. The day we come to realization that it is all of us, it makes a change because in your heart, everything about you will be to make that relationship work. You will have so much energy to make it work. And the other person has so much energy to make it work. With God on your side, everything will be okay. Same thing with a church, a family, department, at work, everywhere we find ourselves. No one is the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. We are all servants. We are all ministers. We are all equipped to do one thing or the other. We are all equipped to supply our own joint so that everything can be better. And we will not fail him in Jesus' name. Amen. Says in verse 4, for while you are saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? I have planted, verse 6, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. So neither is it that planters or any the one that waters is nothing but God that gives the increase. Is God. Is God. Is the work of God. Is the house of God. Is the family of God. Is the department of God. What do you want to say? Is everything is about God. It's all about him. What you are doing is just what he has endowed you to do. What you are bringing in is just what he has put in you to bring in. And far be it that you will not bring your own. I will bring mine. What about you? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Who is the greatest? No one. Jesus is the greatest, but we are all servants. We are all called to serve. Hallelujah. We are all called to serve. Amen. That verse 10 is very touching. And the way that our brother read it out, there will be an inspection. It's a thorough one. It's not, you know, there are some inspection that, you know, they will not find out. But this one is a thorough one. Say, be careful how you build. Verse 10, say, be careful how you build. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builder thereon. But let everyone take heed. Be careful. That means I have a part to play. Be careful how you build. Be careful how you build. Be careful what you bring in. If you bring cheap material on the day, on the last day when there is fire to purify it, the Bible says it will not stand. I pray that that will not be a portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful how you build. This morning, what I'm saying to us is that we should begin to see ourselves as part of it. As part of it. Part of that family. Part of that union. Part of that church, part of that ministry, part of that department, part of it. If we are still alive, there is hope. Amen. Anything can happen. God can change our lives. He can transform our lives. He can make things that looks not good to become good. That is our God. That is our God. And we will not fail him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember that our theme for the month says the cleft of the rock, which is part of what our brother read to us this morning. On Friday, Sister Tule was sharing with us, and she made us to know that this cleft of the rock, it was not Moses that said, oh, I want to be in the cleft of the rock. It was God. It was God, and it was because Moses decided by saying that, God, I want to know more about you. I want your presence. And God said, okay, do you want to see my glory? I will hide you. It shows how important we are to God. Let's see one another as important. Amen. Let's see one another as important, not just as a being, but together, that we are all important. When we do that, it will change the way we do things. It will change the way we do things because we will not be looking at who is the greatest. I'll be looking after bringing out greatness from you. Hallelujah. I'll be looking after bringing out the best out of you. You too, you'll be looking after, bringing out the best out of me. Hallelujah. And that is how it is in the kingdom of God. We are all together. We are all together. And the Lord has endowed us with different gifting, different ministry. My prayer this morning is that we will all supply our joints. We will all supply our joints so that the work can move forward, so that our families can move forward. We will not reason like the world. The world, the way they see greatness is that, oh, achievements, accumulating possession, power, position, prestige. I'm part of the winning team. You've forgotten the winning team today, tomorrow might be the losing one. Hallelujah. That is the word. But we as children of God, we know that our greatness is only found in Christ. We know that we can only become great by following God, by being what he wants us to be, by supplying our joints, by serving others and serving in his house. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. We will have three prayer points this morning. I want us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that's verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. 10, yes.
4 and 5, I read. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are in a warfare, and the Bible says it's not carnal. Hallelujah. Those thoughts that comes to you, the Bible says, bring them down. High thoughts that wants to behave like the people of the world, that want to reason like the world, say, bring them down. Bring them down. That wants to say, I am the greatest, say, bring them down. Jesus is the greatest. Jesus is our greater one. So that's the first prayer point that we are going to pray. Let's rise up in the name of Jesus and begin to bring down to obedience every thought in the name of Jesus. Cast them down. They are imagination. They are not real. That thought is not real. Cast it down in the name of Jesus. Bring to obedience every thought in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this morning we cast down every thought that is contrary to you in the name of Jesus. Every thought that want to exalt ourselves above one another, we cast it down. You will not prevail in the name of Jesus. Every thought that wants to make us to feel as if we are the center of attraction, we cast it down in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you will unite our hearts together in one accord. Father God, that we will fulfill your purpose, that we will fulfill your destiny in the name of Jesus, that we will fulfill the destiny that you have each carved out for each of us in the mighty name of Jesus, even as families in the mighty name of Jesus, that we will walk in your ways and fulfill, oh God Almighty, even the path that you have paved before us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray, oh God, and we declare that you are the greatest. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. The second one is from Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, 3 to 8. 3 to 8, please.
Praise the Lord. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. For as we have many members in one body,
and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gift differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or that he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. You could see there that the word of God said we all have different gifts, and whatsoever you're doing, do it. It's like, do your own portion and do it very well. Amen. I want us to pray. Lord, help me to supply my own joint. I don't want to meet you on that day, God, and say, did you supply all the joints that you were to supply to my body and then to give you excuses? I want us to pray, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord, God Almighty. The gifting you've put in me, Father, help me to fan it into flame in the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to fan it into flame in the name of Jesus. Father, by your Spirit this morning, I pray that you will help me, help us as a church, help every department, every home in the name of Jesus, that we will supply that which you have put in us in the mighty name of Jesus. We come against every lie of the enemy that says, oh God Almighty, that we cannot do it, that we are not needed. We come against it by the blood of Jesus. Father, we draw all into your love. Lord, we draw all, oh God, into your compassion. We draw all into your mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus, help us by your Spirit to give that which you have put in us, Lord. We will not be hindered by your Spirit, oh Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you believe it? Say amen.
Amen.
We read Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6 and 7. 6 and 7.
Yeah. I read, I gave my back to the smithers, and my cheeks to them that plucketh off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Amen.
This prayer point is for our pastors, the Mombesharas. Hallelujah. Jesus has already completed the healing. Amen. Hallelujah. He said it is finished. And we decree and declare concerning that issue in their life, it is finished. God has perfected his work and is finished in Jesus' name. That healing is permanent in Jesus' name. Our prayer point for them is that they will set their face like a flint. A flint is like a hard rock that cannot be moved. When you set your face like a flint, that is, anything that wants to discourage you or to make you to move away from that path, that victorious path that God has given you, you are going to say no to it. And the Bible says they will not be ashamed. I want us, firstly, we pray that even for our pastors, then we pray it for ourselves, that I will not be ashamed and I set myself as a flame. Firstly, we are praying for Pastor Clara. We are praying for Pastor Winford in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the good work that you have done in their lives. We thank you, God Almighty, because it is finished. There is no going back. Father God, we thank you, O God, for that bread, that healing bread that you have given them to eat, and they have eaten it to the full. We thank you. We secure their spirit. We secure their souls in the pool of the blood of Jesus. We decree and declare according to your word, because you, Jesus, you gave your back to the smiters, O God, so that they will not be smitten. Lord, we decree and declare their life is secure. Their every part of their body is secured in your blood. Every part of their body is normalized, oh God, by your blood in the name of Jesus. Every part of their body, oh God, is made whole because you said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. They are not finished, but it is finished. Lord, we thank you. We decree and declare that we set their faces, oh God, like a flint. Lord, let them set their faces like a flint in the name of Jesus. We decree and declare they shall not be ashamed. Shame is not their portion. In the mighty name of Jesus, the word of God that they have held on to will work for them, and it will continue to work for them. In Jesus' name, I want you now to begin to pray for yourself. Say, I have set my face like a flint. I will not be ashamed. I don't know what you have set your face as a flint about. Concerning your marriage, concerning your finance, concerning your work, concerning your health. See, I have set my face like a flint. Oh, with the word of God, I am holding on to the word of God. I shall not be ashamed. I shall not be moved. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I worship you. Thank you, Lord. That's the word of God for us this morning. We will not be ashamed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word that gives life. Thank you because we have received life this morning. Hallowed be unto you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We lift you high, Jesus. Only you, Lord. Only you are the greatest. Therefore, let everything that is competing with you bow at your feet. In the mighty name of Jesus. Only you will rule and reign. Let everything that is contrary to that melt at your feet. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, as you help us as individuals, as families, even as a church, to supply everything that you have put in us, Lord. To supply every joint in the name of Jesus. So that the building will be firmly built, oh God, on the rock of ages in Jesus' name. Thank you for our pastors. They will not be ashamed. Thank you for helping them to set their faces like a flint. Thank you for us too, oh Lord. We set our faces like flints, Lord. Everything troubling us, we command to come down in Jesus' name. We worship you, Lord. We will not be ashamed. Your name will forever be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening and hope that you have been richly blessed. For more information on Word Fountain Christian Ministries and service times, please log on to wordfountain.org or call the office on 01865 402 108. We look forward to seeing you. God bless.